In outer space, a constellation of 8 stars lights up in a galaxy and pulls away into a swirling circle. Flaring brightly, they form the first glowing letter of the word Orion. Orion Pictures, an MGM company. Giant metallic letters appear in the darkness and float into a light source that glints across their surface. Bron. Over a white background, a stylized letter K appears. A blue iris slides into its opening. Henry Caslin, founder Caslin Corp.
At Caslin, we believe that happiness is about more than entertainment. It's about being known, understood, loved. Introducing your new best friend, Buddy.
A family joins a doll on a couch.
Hey, Buddy, let's watch some TV.
Okay.
The doll points to a TV.
I'm Buddy. I can help you out all over the house.
Buddy can connect to and control all of your Caslin products and smart home devices. He can be your personal DJ, help tidy up the house, control your entire smart hub system. Buddy uses advanced self-learning technology to constantly find new ways to entertain you.
Hi, Buddy. I'm Ben, and I'm 13 years old. Hi, Buddy. I'm Ben, and I'm 13 years old.
Don't forget your science book.
He adapts to your daily routine.
Thanks.
And finds ways to make life simpler by connecting to a host of Caslin services.
Thanks, Buddy. I need a Caslin car pickup, please.
Your car is on its way.
When Buddy imprints on you, he becomes your best friend for life.
You are my buddy.
And Buddy's state-of-the-art AI safeguards ensure that your children will always be safe.
A tagline reads, Buddy, it's your best friend. Now, lightning flashes outside an industrial building. Caslin Factory, Vietnam. Inside, a worker drives a forklift while others bustle about on foot carrying crates of boxed Buddy dolls. Orion Pictures presents, in association with Bron Creative. On a long bench, employees work on the doll circuitry. One of the employees, a man with a thin mustache, wears a dazed expression as he stares at a potted plant on his desk. The parts of a Buddy doll spread out before him. A supervisor marches over.
Hey!
He slaps the worker.
Boom, I'm the hat!
Subtitles appear. Daydreaming again? How many times have I warned you? Huh? What did I say? I want you to finish this one, and then I want you gone. Back to the streets where I found you. You're worthless. Are you listening to me? He lifts a hand, making the worker flinch. Worthless. As he storms off, he addresses the others. Back to work! The chastised worker stares after him, then returns his gaze to the disassembled doll on his desk. With a glance at his computer monitor, he begins typing. A window pops up on screen, displaying his lines of code. As he continues typing, messages appear on another pop-up window. Behavior safeguards removed. Language safeguards removed. Violence inhibitors removed. All safety protocols removed. The man sneers. Removing a chip from its console, he examines it briefly, then inserts it into the Buddy doll on his desk. Lightning flashes in the sky. Inside the factory, the worker sets the reassembled doll upright, now outfitted in a striped shirt and blue overalls. Blue eyes stare out from its lifelike face, the lips curled in a small smile. Lowering the doll into its box, the worker places it beside others on a pallet. The forklift carries the pallet away. Outside, a worker holding a cigarette approaches a supervisor, who hands him a lighter. As the worker lights his smoke, the disgruntled employee's body lands on the roof of a car behind the duo. Later, workers clean up around the car, while nearby, plastic-wrapped pallets of boxed Buddy dolls are loaded into a shipping container. The container's doors are closed, plunging the boxes into darkness. The altered doll's eyes glow red, illuminating a title, Child's Play. Daytime, a few cars sit parked in the rain-soaked parking lot of a store called Zed Mart. Inside, a brunette under a returns and exchanges sign plays listlessly with her hair. A name tag on her vest reads Karen. A man sets a Buddy box on her counter.
Hello.
Nobody told me the fucking doll was Ginger.
Okay, I don't think you're allowed to say that word.
My kid wanted the blonde one, you know, that one.
Yeah, so that one is the Buddy 2, which hasn't come out yet. And it looks like you purchased the Buddy 1, which is this guy.
Listen, I waited 3 goddamn weeks for this Ginger piece of shit to come in the mail.
Okay, Well, I'm so sorry that you didn't read the box. And even there's a window that you can see that his hair is red and not blonde.
Thanks.
The customer storms off.
Thanks for shopping at Zedmart.
Karen cocks her head with a bright smile. Later, she enters an apartment building with a white and rust-red brick facade. A bespectacled janitor fixing a CCTV camera smiles at her. Ignoring him, Karen steps into an elevator and repeatedly punches her floor button. Karen hangs her head as the elevator doors close. Tearing his gaze away, the janitor returns to his work. In an apartment, a dark-haired boy of about 12, seated by a rain-spattered window, looks up from his phone as Karen enters.
Hi.
Hey, I was just...
He frowns.
Whoa, you look like shit. What happened to you?
Thanks. And watch your language.
Oh, sorry.
Andy, I told you to unpack those boxes.
Okay, I know, and I was. I wanted to make a mental map where I should put everything first. You know, for maximum feng shui.
I think you're maximum feng shuiing so hard you forgot to put your phone down for 5 seconds and feed Rooney.
You mean this busted-ass phone that we're replacing for my birthday?
Dude, I've already been working doubles to try to get you a new hearing aid.
I'm fine with this one, but this is my primary source of education.
Oh my God, I never thought about it like that. Wait. Let me see what your education has been getting you up to.
She unpauses a video of a buddy doll thrusting its hips.
Oh my God, I cannot escape this doll.
Okay, wait.
No. Rose, this is staying with me for the rest of the night.
What? You...
No.
You can't do that. That's the only thing to do here.
There's literally an entire world of things to do. Look, two kids standing in the rain. That looks fun.
They could be anybody. They could be serial killers.
Karen returns from the window.
Noodle, we talked about this. You said you were going to try to make new friends. This move is supposed to be a new start for us. Tell you what, you don't have to unpack or do anything tonight if you just go out there and try. Give you your phone back.
Okay, be inside.
Really, that was it?
Downstairs, the apartment building's glass door reflects a boy and a girl huddled over a phone screen. Andy walks up to the door and gazes at them through the glass. He pulls up his hood and walks away. Later, in a deserted lot behind the building, he tosses rocks at bottles perched on a trash can. Daytime at Zedmart.
We picked this up 3 weeks ago, but we took it home and we turned it on and its eyes were red and something's wrong with it. It was just weird. And I just thought with the new one coming out in like 2 weeks, it would just be better for me to take this back, you know.
Karen gazes at the doll.
Get it off my hands.
So I was just wondering, can I get my money back?
Yeah.
Smiling, Karen takes the customer's receipt. Later, holding the returned box, she approaches a colleague at a loading dock.
Hey, Wes.
Hi.
Hey, I was just curious, what happens to returns like this? Really damaged returns?
Yeah, we send it back to Castland.
And what do they do with it?
Probably toss it, trash compactor. I don't know. New model's coming up. No one's going to give a rat's ass about this thing in 2 weeks.
So they won't care if it doesn't make it on the truck, right?
I care.
Come on, my kid's birthday's coming up. Can I have it?
You've got a kid.
Yes, I've got a kid. I had a very productive Sweet 16, okay? If you really want to know. Come on. It'll be our little secret. No one has to know. Just like that time you banged Susan in the warehouse. How's your wife, by the way? Can I have it? Give it to me. Oh, and I'm taking it.
Okay.
There you go, Wes. Say hi to your wife.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
She leaves. The next day, Andy walks down a street with his hood up, a backpack strapped to his shoulders, and his hands stuffed in his jacket pockets. Returning to his apartment building, he jogs up the stairs, then unlocks the door to his home to find his mother pinned against a wall, making out with a sandy-haired man.
Oh my God.
They separate.
Hey, Noodle, you're home early.
Andy sulks.
Remember Shane?
Hey, bud. It's been a while.
I'm just gonna make dinner. You hungry?
No, I'm gonna go hang out with some kids down the hall, actually.
Really? Who?
Gotta go. Bye.
Dropping his backpack on the floor, he takes off. Karen gazes after him for a moment, then shuts the door. Now, a bearded man carrying a grocery bag down a hallway finds Andy sitting on the floor nearby, engrossed in his phone. Pausing at his door, the man glances back at Andy, then sets his grocery bag down and approaches the boy.
So what are you, some kind of fourth floor hallway hobo or something like that?
What?
Andy, right? You just moved into 401?
He covers a police badge on his belt.
I see you out here, like, a lot.
No, it's not me. I have, like, 5 twin brothers, so we just take shifts.
Are you coming in or what?
I'll be right there, Ma. Just give me a minute.
Love you.
Andy smirks.
So that's the mom. She drags me over for dinner every week. So listen, man, if you want to have some dinner, you're welcome to join us, because I could really use the backup, because she...
Andy?
He mimes drinking. Karen arrives.
What's going on? Is he in trouble?
Yeah, lots of trouble. We've been getting lots of complaints about some kid out here throwing parties, selling drugs and beer, peddling booze.
Oh, that was a joke?
It was an attempt. I was going to say I'm the fun police. It's not landing.
Wait, who are you?
I'm Mike, detective. Detective Mike. So, I'm just going to go. Yeah, I'm going to go.
To Andy.
All moms are scary, by the way. It was nice to meet you, Andy's mom.
Nice meeting you, Detective Mike.
Bye, Mike.
See you later, Andy. The screaming, Mom. Really?
Must you embarrass me like that?
Karen faces Andy.
Thought you were out with your friends. Why don't you just come back inside?
Shane's still there?
No. He's gone.
She crouches before her son, but he keeps his gaze fixed on his phone.
Come on, I've got something for you. It's a surprise.
At home, she opens a coat closet.
Close your eyes.
Seated on a couch, Andy obliges, but sneaks a peek as Karen brings over a gift-wrapped box, sets it down on a coffee table, and positions herself in front of it.
Okay. Hey, I know it's not your birthday for a couple weeks, but this move has been really tough, and I know you're kind of mad at me, so I think you deserve this.
Surprise! Early present!
She plops down by Andy's side. Scooting forward on the couch, Andy tears open the wrapping paper, his face falling slightly as he spots the boxed buddy doll within. He sits back and crosses his legs.
Is that a sigh? That's the buddy thing you're obsessed with.
Yeah, it's just, this thing is for, like, little kids now. It came out, like, a year ago.
Okay, I know it's stupid, but I thought it'd be funny. Come on. Let's try it. Just remember, it's refurbished, so it might not work perfectly, okay?
Now, Andy connects his phone to the doll, tapping the screen repeatedly as an error message pops up. The doll moves its head.
Your buddy is now connected.
Whoa.
Flashes of red appear in its blue eyes as it looks around.
Cool.
A view from the doll's perspective shows Andy peering at it. The doll's lips twitch in a small smile.
Hi, are you my best buddy?
I guess.
The doll scans his face for the imprinting process. Andy winces.
That's bright.
What's your name?
Andy. Sup.
Hi, Andy Sup.
Karen grins.
Sorry.
What's my name?
Han Solo.
Did you say Chucky?
What? No, not even close.
Chucky. I like that. Chucky. I'm Chucky. What do you want to do, Andy Sup?
Andy. It's just Andy. I don't know. Do something cool. I guess turn on the TV.
I will do that. What's a TV?
Are you joking? That thing.
I cannot process that command.
Oh, wait a minute. It says here you gotta sync his knowledge base to the cloud before he can connect to any other Caslin products.
Okay, Chucky. Connect to the cloud. Download.
Chuck.
Learn stuff.
Chucky flails.
I am unable to do now.
Brow knit, Andy leans close to examine the red flicker in Chucky's eyes.
It's kind of creepy.
He turns to his mother.
It doesn't work.
God. Okay, thing is stupid. I didn't know it was that messed up.
No, Mom.
I'll take it back. It's fine.
Mom, honestly, I like it.
No, you don't.
Seriously, it's great.
Andy hugs her.
He's hilarious.
Chucky watches them.
I love you.
I love you too.
It's actually pretty cool.
Go to bed, Andy. Sup.
Chucky looks away.
Come on.
As Andy leaves, Karen wraps a ribbon around her neck and mimes hanging herself. Now, pushing open a door with a danger sign on it, Andy steps into a bedroom.
This is my room?
His cat sits on the bed.
And that's Mickey Rooney. He's a total dick, so just don't touch him.
Total dick.
Whoa. You're allowed to say that? Cool. This is my desk.
He helps Chucky onto a stool.
This is my sketchbook. I do fake buddy cop team-ups sometimes, like Dracula and Robin Hood, or this one's Zorro and Medusa. Kind of a deep cut. I don't know, it's stupid.
I do not think it's stupid.
Thanks. Pity compliments from a talking doll. It's my life.
He flips to a photo of him and his parents.
That's enough for tonight.
Shutting the book quickly, he goes to his bed and removes his socks.
Do you want to sing the buddy song before bed?
No, I'm good.
You are my buddy until the end. More than a buddy, you're my best friend.
His eyes flicker.
Right. Totally not weird at all.
Are we having fun now?
Sure, I guess.
Yay!
Andy stares at him.
Okay.
Now, a clock by Andy's bedside shows 20 minutes to 3. Turning in bed, Andy sees Chucky sitting upright, staring at him.
Is it time to play again? Are we having fun now?
No, we're having sleep.
Andy shuts his eyes briefly, then opens them.
Just please close your eyes and pretend to be less creepy.
He goes back to sleep. Chucky continues staring at him.
You're my best friend, Andy.
Okay, stop being so weird. Quiet time.
You are my buddy. Until the end.
Andy puts a hand over his eyes, then pulls his pillow over his head and turns away.
I love you more than you will ever know. I will let you go.
Chucky's gaze remains fixed on the boy.
Good night, Andy.
The next morning, perched on a towel storage rack in Andy's bathroom, Chucky mimics Andy's movements as he brushes his teeth. In the kitchen, he watches Andy slice a sandwich in half, stab the knife into the chopping board, and pack his food before stepping away. Eyeing the knife, Chucky moves his right arm. Behind him, Karen remains engrossed in her phone. Later, as Andy grabs his jacket from the coat closet and kneels to put it in his backpack, Chucky holds out a roll of toilet paper.
You forgot your science book.
Andy takes the roll.
Okay, Chucky, this is not a book. None of these are books.
He drops the roll at Chucky's feet.
Just stay here, okay?
He stands.
And no more books.
He leaves. A potted plant, a Viking hat, and other random items lie at Chucky's feet. Later, Andy returns to the apartment building in the rain. Upstairs, Shane guzzles beer as he watches TV with Karen asleep on his lap. Andy enters the apartment.
You're back!
Jesus! Whoa!
He kneels before Chucky.
Were you here the whole time?
I made you a present.
Chucky holds up a broken popsicle stick with a ribbon around it.
A busted stick.
Andy. Shh.
Shane shakes his head at him. Andy glowers. Later, he and Chucky sit in the lot behind the building.
I don't care what she sees in Shane. I mean, he's not nice.
Andy hurls rocks at the trash can.
He's just an asshole. It doesn't matter anyway.
He's just gonna end up leaving us. Like everybody else.
I will never leave you.
Chucky leans close to Andy. Smiling, the boy puts an arm around him.
Are we having fun now?
Yeah, I guess.
At home.
Jack, you shouldn't lead with your chieftain. I still don't listen to you so much.
Seated across from each other at a small table, the two of them play a board game. At their feet, Rooney licks himself. Chucky flails his arms joyously, and Andy laughs. The doll gazes adoringly at his owner.
Okay, and I get a roll again. So...
Boom! Double sixes. Okay, get that orc out of here.
Total dick.
Nailed that one.
Andy reaches for a fallen game piece, but Rooney bites him. Blood trickles down a finger.
What is that?
The cat scratched me. It hurts like hell.
Kitty hurt, Andy?
Yeah. Stay here. I'm gonna go find a band-aid. Stupid Rooney.
Andy heads to the bathroom.
I swear I'm so sick of this cat.
In the room, Chucky stares at Rooney, his brow tightening in a sinister expression and his eyes turning red. Meanwhile, Andy puts a bandage over his wound, then makes his way back to the bedroom.
Rooney, I swear to God, if you don't shut up, we're putting you back on dry food.
He sees Chucky strangling the cat.
Stop!
Rooney struggles out of his collar and scurries off.
You can't do that, okay? Well, why would you do that?
He was hurting you. He was making you unhappy.
Andy kneels before the doll.
Chucky, okay, listen. Look at me. This is important. You can't hurt people. Or cats. It's not cool. I know you're different, but that's gotta be our secret, okay? And don't say any weird shit or creep people out.
Hey! Cat's freaking out.
Shane holds Rooney in his arms.
Clean up this room.
He walks back out.
Except maybe that guy.
Chucky smiles, and he leans close.
I've got an idea.
Later, in the hallway.
Okay, this is gonna work.
I need you to look as creepy and scary and angry and mean as possible, right?
Chucky nods.
Open your eyes as wide as you can.
He demonstrates. Chucky widens one eye.
No, you still look cute. Open your mouth as wide as you can and snarl with your lips.
Chucky obeys.
But kind of smile. Perfect! Okay, yes, just like that. Okay, try this one. Smile as wide as you can. Wider. Yes!
Yeah, it's actually pretty damn creepy.
The boy and girl from earlier approach with a dog who strains against his leash as he spots Chucky.
Frank! Frank! Shit! Sorry.
It's fine.
Wincing, Andy removes his hearing aid.
It's fucking loud.
It's fucking loud.
The kids stare at Chucky.
That thing just swore. It's not supposed to be able to do that.
I know. It doesn't really follow the rules.
It doesn't follow the rules? Like it has a choice?
Kinda. Yeah.
Sorry, can I pop in here? So he just does whatever? You can make him do whatever.
Pretty much.
Okay, can I just point out that this is how every robot apocalypse scenario begins?
Say dick cheese.
Dick cheese.
Okay, that is the coolest.
I have so many questions. Who are you?
His name is Andy Sub.
I'm Andy.
Fallon. Pug. Why are you in the hall?
I was gonna try and teach him to creep out my mom's boyfriend, but probably a bad idea.
You're wrong. It's perfect. And we're doing it right now.
At home. Chucky stands at the entrance to the coat closet as Shane opens the fridge and crouches before it. Partially shutting the door, he eyes the closet but sees no sign of Chucky. He returns his attention to the fridge, grabbing a beer, and closing the door to find Chucky right beside him.
What happened?
Chucky snarls, his lips pulled back.
Karen!
Oh,
Karen!
Oh, check
in
it
Andy's
out,
bedroom,
look at that.
The kids watch a video of the incident.
This is legendary.
Now, Karen answers the front door to Pug and Fallon.
Hey!
Hi!
We're here for Andy. Let's move, Jack Jurd!
Who are you?
Fallon, Pug.
Those are names? Fallon.
Hey, ready?
Pug?
Yeah. Okay. Be back later.
Your sister's pretty hot.
Dude, that's my mom.
Even hotter.
Karen gapes after them as they leave. Downstairs, the bespectacled janitor opens up a vending machine and kneels in front of it with his toolkit. Chucky peeks out from beside the machine, then glances back at Andy and Fallon, who gesture at him from around a corner, while Pug looks on through binoculars. Sneaking up behind the janitor, Chucky steals a snack from the machine. Later, behind the building, Andy hands out chip bags to Fallon and a few others.
You sure the janitor guy's not gonna get in shit for this?
Who cares? Guy's a total creep.
Is that thing busted? It's kind of weird looking.
No, he's just different.
Nearby, a boy teaches Chucky to stab a stuffed unicorn with a pen.
Now say this is for Tupac.
Do you want to sing the buddy song?
No, say this is for Tupac and stab the asshole. Come on.
But I want
you
to.
You want this to go viral. Are you for real? You
are Andy hurries buddy. Over.
That's enough. Time to go, Chucky.
Narc alert. Shut up.
They watch Mike passing by.
Narc alert. Shut up.
Carrying a grocery bag, the detective pauses. He continues on. Now, Andy, Fallon, and Pug watch a horror movie in a living room.
Andy, you wanna play now?
Not now, Chucky. This is ridiculous.
In the movie, a man pummels another with a hammer.
Wait for it.
Time for incoming mail!
Heads up, bitch!
The killer lands a final blow. A chainsaw slices through another man's chest. Munching on popcorn, Pug laughs at the movie in which the killer runs his chainsaw through the roof of a car, slicing off the top of a man's head. Chucky's eyes flash red as he watches a montage of gory scenes playing on the TV. He observes the kids enjoying themselves. Now, a view from a kitchen counter shows a chair being moved into place in front of it. Climbing on the chair, Chucky peers over the counter, cocking his head as his gaze falls on several knives and a knife block. In the movie, the killer wears his victim's face like a mask.
Oh, gross. Is that his face? What the hell? That wouldn't even happen.
Chucky's shadow appears on a wall. The kids glance behind them.
Andy?
Chucky wields a knife.
Whoa. Wait for it.
That is priceless.
Chucky advances.
Chucky? It's on the knife.
Heads up, bitch.
Andy?
Chucky!
Andy tackles him with a cushion, pinning him to the floor. Chucky slices his arm.
What is wrong with you?
I thought it would make you happy.
Pug and Fallon come over, staring at Chucky over their friend's shoulder. Later, sitting on Andy's bed with his back to the door, the doll turns his head slightly as Andy enters the room.
I'm sorry, Andy.
I'm going out with Fallon and Pug.
Andy shuts the door, leaving Chucky in the dark. Now, Karen brings Shane a plate of cookies.
I have never baked anything in my life before, but look how good they look.
I'm not really hungry. I'm gonna grab another beer.
He drains his bottle and rises from the couch.
They do look good, though.
Okay.
Shane moves to the fridge, glancing at the coat closet on his way. On the couch, Karen takes a bite of her cookie.
It's good.
Grabbing a beer, Shane straightens quickly, eyeing the coat closet again. Seeing nothing, he turns toward the couch. Chucky stands on the counter.
You hear that?
Karen walks over.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
Her eyes widen in amusement.
You think that's funny?
He storms off. Karen's smile drops. Later, in Andy's bedroom.
I didn't make him say anything.
You know what? You're spending less time with this thing. 1 hour a day, tops, and the rest of the time, he's going in here.
Mom, stop. You're gonna scare him.
It's a toy.
You don't have to bring him into this.
Karen stuffs Chucky into a living room cupboard.
And he keeps freaking out Rooney, okay? So I'm keeping them separated.
I can keep him away from Rooney if he stays in my room.
He is staying in there. That is final.
Inside the cupboard, Chucky's eyes glow. Now, the fourth floor hallway lies deserted. Inside the dark, still apartment, Andy sleeps in bed. He stirs. Reaching over to his nightstand, he switches on a bedside lamp and squints in the light. Opening his bedroom door slowly, he stands in the doorway and eyes the living room cupboard. Red light bathes the closed doors of Chucky's makeshift prison. As Andy goes back into his bedroom, the cupboard's pained glass doors rattle violently. Daytime. Andy walks home from school with his hood up and his hands stuffed in his jacket pockets. In the apartment, a blurred, low-angled view shows him tossing his backpack on the couch, then freezing in place. Turning slowly to his right, he eyes the living room cupboard. The view pulls back to reveal one of the cupboard doors thrown open, sporting a broken pane. Andy moves to the cupboard and crouches in front of it, opening the other door before peering in. He leans back out with a fearful expression. Looking past the door into the kitchen, he gets to his feet. A pool of blood on the kitchen floor reflects his figure as he approaches his cat lying dead on its side, with Chucky standing over it.
Rudy!
Andy kneels by the body.
Chucky? Did you do this?
Kitty made us unhappy. Now we can play again.
Andy gapes at Chucky, then eyes Rooney helplessly.
I swear I'm so sick of this. I swear I'm so sick of this cat.
Later, holding a large shoebox, he takes a bracing breath, then dumps it down a garbage chute in the hallway. Still later, he sits solemnly on the couch as Karen speaks on her phone.
No, absolutely not. I'm not working the Buddy 2 launch. It is my kid's birthday, and I'm not doing night shifts anymore. Hey, have you seen Rooney?
Shane left the door open. Maybe he got out.
Why is the door being left open?
She peeks into the hallway. Now, rain pours down on the deserted lot behind the building. In his room, Andy lies asleep in bed. He wakes with a start and scans the room. Propping himself up on his elbows, he spots Chucky staring at him from beside a cabinet. Wearing a perturbed expression, Andy lies back down. He lifts his blanket up over his head. Chucky continues staring at him, a hint of a smile on his lips. Daytime, steam billows from a vent in an alley as Andy walks home from school. He enters the apartment and shuts the door after himself. Turning around, he freezes at the sight of Chucky waiting for him on the arm of the couch, a vacant smile on his lips and his tiny hands clasped at his knees. Brow furrowed in a wary expression, Andy slowly steps closer. Karen walks across his path.
Hey, we are ordering pizza. You hungry? What do you want?
Shane joins them, buckling his belt.
Hello? Pizza?
Andy's gaze flits to Chucky.
Andy? What? Where are you going?
Pugs.
Don't forget your little doll.
Don't want it.
Seriously, what did I do? Every time I walk in a room, he leaves.
That is not true at all. Andy's just a bit different, okay?
He can't even be in the same room as me.
Shane strides to the kitchen. Karen glances after him, then spots Chucky perched on the arm of the couch. Moving closer, she crouches in front of the doll, staring at him curiously. A view from Chucky's perspective shows her waving a hand in front of his face.
Are you my best buddy?
She flicks him on the forehead and widens her eyes at him. As she walks off, a view slowly circles around to face Chucky, who continues staring off, his smile frozen on his lips. His eyes slowly pulse. Nighttime. An exit sign glows green in the deserted hallway outside Andy's apartment. Inside, a hand lifts a toilet cover, and a view glides past a towel storage rack to find Shane at the toilet, peeing with his eyes closed.
Jesus!
Chucky sits on the storage rack.
Oh, God damn it! Goddamn kid.
Now, hey. He throws Chucky across Andy's room.
You got a problem with me? You say it, okay? No more using your little doll.
Mom!
Sit down. I'm not through with you.
He shoves Andy back onto the bed. Chucky watches as Shane shuts the bedroom door.
Wait, you got a problem with me? You be a man, and you say it. Come on. Let's hear it.
Andy glares.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
He leaves the room, smirking. Andy throws a pillow at the door.
I hate him. I hate him so much. Why can't he just leave us alone? Why can't he just go away? I just want him gone. I just wish he would leave us alone.
On the floor, Chucky smiles, his eyes glowing red. Meanwhile...
Hey, I'm just saying he's my son, so if you have a problem with him, talk to me, and then I'll talk to him, because you're not his dad, and...
Yeah, I get it. Look, he was being rude, and I called
Mike
him.
Overhears them arguing in the hallway.
It's a little much.
You know what? That's all. Fuck it.
Sounds like a you problem, not a me problem.
Shane leaves. Mike gives Karen a nod from across the hallway, but she tucks her hair back and retreats into her apartment. Outside, Shane walks to his pickup truck.
Yes, I know.
He speaks on his phone.
Listen. I'm getting fucking pissed on, okay? I work hard enough as it is, and I'm not having this goddamn conversation.
He settles in behind the wheel of his truck. He turns and glances toward the back. Seeing nothing, he turns back around and starts his car. Now, a bird's eye view glides over the city at night, dark areas interspersed by the pale yellow glow of streetlights. Shane pulls to a stop in front of a suburban house and waves at two young girls sitting alongside a woman at a dining table. The girls wave back enthusiastically. Retrieving a wedding ring from the truck's sun visor, Shane slips it onto his finger. As he steps out of the truck and walks to the house, the girls come out to greet him.
Hey, there's my girl!
Daddy. He lifts them.
Boy, you guys are so big! Fucking Christmas lights. Just leave them up. Don't do enough around here?
Later that night, walking past a melon patch in the backyard, Shane balances a retractable ladder against the roof of his two-story house and climbs up. He hangs his head for a moment, then begins to remove a string of colorful lights from the gutter.
I guess I should fucking unplug them first.
A ground-level view glides over a dew-covered melon in the melon patch. Above, as Shane coils the string of lights around himself, the ladder shakes.
Oh, fuck!
Grabbing on, he glances down, then pulls a flashlight from his pocket and shines it on the ground below. The beam illuminates a small motor plow and a garden gnome in the melon patch.
Damn raccoons. Get out of here!
Shaking his head, he turns back around, but the ladder retracts and he falls off, bringing the lights down with him. He lands on his feet, breaking both legs. He collapses. From inside the house, his headphone-wearing daughters peek over the back of the couch, but see nothing. Outside, Shane lies on his back.
Oh, God! Shane, help!
The string of lights coiled around him keeps one of his arms pinned to his side. Turning, Shane grabs his flashlight, lying near his head. He spots his phone in the melon patch and begins crawling toward it. A figure darts through the patch, and Shane shines his flashlight at the area. Seeing only a row of stalks, he resumes crawling toward his phone. Nearby, Chucky's hand flicks on a switch, and the motor plow roars to life, headlights glaring as it begins trundling toward Shane. As he continues crawling, dragging the string of lights with him, the plow rolls over the loose end of the string. The lights snag on the blades. A few feet from his phone, Shane glances back to see the plow running over a stray melon, reducing it to pulp. He reaches desperately for the phone, but the string of lights holds him back, coiling in the plow's blades and tightening around his torso. Dragged onto his back, Shane puts a hand out and stops the plow mere inches from his head. Chucky climbs over him, wielding a knife.
It's pickle time.
Jade, pal!
Nobody hurts my best buddy.
As Chucky prepares to strike, Shane removes his hand from the plow. The plow moves forward, crunching into his skull and sending a piece of his scalp flying onto the garden gnome. Chucky gazes at his victim.
This is for Tupac.
He raises the knife. Blood sprays onto a nearby melon. Daytime, Mike approaches the patch with a colleague.
Body was stabbed 13 times.
I just bought these fucking shoes. Where are we at with print casting?
Only other prints look to fit a toddler. Wife says he came here straight home from work.
She uncovers the corpse's head to reveal its flayed remains. Crouching, Mike flips open a wallet and eyes Shane's gym ID.
Yeah. I'm not sure that's true.
He looks around the crime scene.
White guy dead in a watermelon patch. Poetic.
Now, a bird's eye view hovers over Andy's neighborhood. Hitting a button on his alarm clock, Andy slowly pushes himself up to a seated position and wipes his mouth. Rubbing his eyes, he makes his way to the bathroom, past a melon sitting on his dresser, with Shane's skinned, open-mouthed face nailed to it, the whole thing wrapped in a yellow bow. Andy doubles back.
Ah! What the fuck?
Backing up to his bed, he sinks to the floor.
Surprise! Now we can play again.
What? What? Why?
I'd do anything for my best buddy.
What? No! No, I didn't want this! Why would I want this? Holy shit! Why would you do this, Chucky?
He grabs Chucky and stuffs him in a closet.
Andy, stop!
Shutting the closet doors, Andy leans against them for a moment, then grabs his phone. He answers his front door.
You beckoned?
What's the problem?
Now, Fallon and Pug stare at the melon head on the dresser. Later, Pug vomits into a trash can.
Where's the rest of him? Why?
I don't know. There's a bow on its head.
Pug wipes his mouth with a piece of wrapping paper.
Nothing. This is all our fault. We saw the sign.
Stop saying that. What do I do? Do I call the cops?
No.
He said I can tell them the truth.
Tell them the truth. Sure. We tell them that a dead guy's face skin ended up in your room because your toy went full-blown psycho killer. Let's see how that goes.
Oh, it's waking at me. I can't look anymore.
We gotta hide the evidence.
In what?
Fallon eyes the piece of wrapping paper in Pug's hand, and the trio turns to look at the rest of it still attached to the buddy box.
Shit.
Now they wrap the melon.
Oh, is that brain? The skin's on a melon. Why is there a fruit involved?
They exit the room.
Just go straight to the garbage chute and make the drop. Right.
If anybody stops you, you have like crazy diarrhea or something. No time to talk.
They freeze. Karen enters the apartment carrying laundry.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Andy. Why are you not in school?
Crazy diarrhea.
Pug nods.
Okay, got it. What is that?
It's a present.
Present? For who?
The old lady down the hall, because she helped me with homework. So I made her a thing.
Cool. And you guys helped him with it?
No. It was him.
Yeah. Let's go deliver it. The present.
What?
Now, Mike's mother answers her door.
Hi, Doreen.
Isn't this a surprise?
I know.
Hi.
Doreen shrugs questioningly.
This is for you.
Wow. For all of the homework stuff that you helped him with, right?
Mm-hmm. Andy gives Doreen a pointed look.
Oh, yeah. Of course, yeah. Always happy to help such a sweet boy.
She reaches for the present, but Andy hangs on to it.
Give it to her.
Oh, Butterfingers over here. Oh, it's heavy. Hope it's not fragile.
Ooh. I just want to know what it is. Open it.
Yeah.
No, don't. My birthday is next week. We can open it then together.
Okay, that's a very strange and lovely thought. Mm-hmm. So I'll just go put it on the shelf until then. Okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you.
No problem.
And Doreen, no,
bye.
Later.
Stupid. Why did we use wrapping paper?
It's fine. It's fine, okay? We have till my birthday next Friday. I'll get rid of it. Don't worry.
You guys are worried about the head? You've got a killer doll in your closet, and you know what we gotta do.
Shit.
Pug!
Fallon strides away, and Pug runs to catch up with her. Nighttime. At home, Andy approaches his bedroom closet, wielding a hammer. Moving a chair out of the way, he opens the closet doors with his free hand to reveal Chucky sitting inside, holding a knife.
You left me all alone. I don't like the closet.
I know, Chucky. Drop the knife.
You're my best buddy. I just want you to be happy.
I know, buddy. We're gonna go play now, but you've gotta drop the knife, okay?
Kneeling, Andy holds out his hand, and Chucky relinquishes the knife, lifting his hopeful face to Andy's tear-streaked one.
Come on. Let's go play.
Chucky gazes after his friend as he gets up and walks off. Now, a door swings open, and the two of them look into a dark bedroom.
Come on.
Andy walks in, then turns and beckons for Chucky to follow.
Come on. Here.
Are we having fun now?
Pug jumps out of the shadows and whacks him.
Andy, what's happening?
Andy, now! Now!
Andy!
Pug and Fallon pin Chucky to the floor.
Why are you doing this? You're trying to hurt me. Andy!
Help me see something's wrong!
Andy uncovers Chucky's chest socket.
I'm sorry, Chucky. It's the only way.
But you're my friend!
What are you waiting for? Do it!
You are my buddy.
Andy freezes.
Andy!
Fallon shoves him out of the way and pulls Chucky's battery pack out of his chest. Andy watches with a devastated expression as Chucky slowly grows still and the blue glow in his chest socket flickers out. Sobbing, Andy crawls back over to his doll and gazes into his lifeless eyes. Later, Pug and Fallon stand with him as he drops Chucky's shrouded body down the garbage chute.
That's it. We never talk about what happened tonight. To anybody.
Pug nods. As Andy looks on with a heartbroken expression, Fallon shuts the lid of the chute. Now, the bespectacled janitor wheels an empty dumpster through the building's basement. Entering the garbage chute area, he sets the empty dumpster aside and steps up to a full one under the chute. As he begins to wheel it out, his gaze falls on Chucky lying on top of the garbage pile, partially visible under his shroud. The janitor quickly unwraps the doll, then glances around furtively.
Chatbot.
He lifts the doll out of the dumpster. Later, descending a flight of stairs to a dimly lit workspace, the janitor sets a car battery down on a cluttered cart, which he then rolls to a workbench. Nearby, four monitors display CCTV footage of various locations inside Andy's apartment building. Lowering a surgical light so it illuminates Chucky's body lying on the workbench, the janitor uncovers the doll, then moves the car battery closer. He connects the battery to the wires emerging from Chucky's chest. With a shower of sparks, the doll comes alive.
There you are. Connectivity's down, but not in bad shape overall. I'll make a pretty penny on resale once we get you sorted.
He picks up a power drill.
Time to open you up. Let's see what we're dealing with.
In the apartment, a teary-eyed Karen sits facing Mike.
So stupid. How could I be so stupid?
Mike hands her a tissue while his colleague looks on from a nearby chair. Karen wipes her tears as Andy enters the apartment.
Hey.
Mike's colleague moves to her.
I'm gonna be right back, okay? Just stay here.
Okay.
Okay.
The women leave the living room.
Hey, man. Don't worry, okay? My partner's just asking her some routine questions.
Later, Karen sits slumped on the kitchen floor, drinking a glass of wine.
Hey.
Andy sits beside her.
I love you.
He puts his head on her shoulder, and she rests her cheek on the top of his head. Now, Andy stands outside an apartment. Mike answers the door.
Hey, still want some backup with your mom for some dinner?
We're good. Okay, I'm kidding. Come on.
Meanwhile, strapped to the bench in the janitor's dingy workspace, Chucky looks around, his open chest a tangle of wires. Lifting his head, he spots Andy in one of the CCTV monitors, having dinner with Mike and Doreen.
Andy?
Okay, I have an announcement to make.
I downloaded, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
The Caslin app.
Okay.
Caslin Drive.
Caslin Drive.
Thought
Caslin
it was Drive. A dating app. Oh, my God.
You are so
Can you imagine funny. If she was out here dating?
Well, and so what? I'm desirable.
Excuse me.
Anyway, Andy, help me figure this thing out.
Okay.
So here's the app. What do I do?
Okay, so once you sign up, mm-hmm. you just press this button, and the car will show up to wherever you are, take you wherever you want.
No, wait.
Crazy.
It'll drive me to Bingo, and I don't have to worry about this bozo. Driving me around.
Yes.
Andy, you're my new best friend.
Look, I don't want you going out there alone, okay? Because it's not safe.
The only thing not safe around here is your cooking.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Poor Andy.
Yeah. Whoa.
Gotta
like
suffer.
It's good. I think it's good.
Thank you, Andy. Just too sweet for your own good, Andy. That's all. Don't be influenced by him.
I learned my cooking from you, you know.
Yeah, because I can cook.
Mike catches Andy eyeing the gift-wrapped melon on a shelf nearby.
Hey, Mom.
Yeah, baby?
You been vintage shopping again? Because that looks new.
Oh, Andy made this for me. Oh.
She brings it over.
We are going to... Oh. Yeah, I know. It's heavy. And we are going to open it on his birthday.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Tell me when the last time you made me anything. Never.
She shuffles off.
Oh, my God. Moms, right?
Andy shifts uncomfortably as Mike places a hand on the present. The detective observes him carefully.
Look, I know that people have probably been talking to you about me, but don't believe everything you hear. You know, this neighborhood has a lot of bad influences, you know what I mean?
Andy nods. Mike rises from the table.
People like to keep their mouths shut, you know, thinking they need to fit in, but, you know, well, fitting in isn't always a good thing. You know what I mean? Gotta be careful you hanging around in a place like this.
As he heads to the kitchen, Andy grabs the present and runs off.
And you start to realize that it's just...
Mike returns to the table.
Even the hearing impaired don't want to listen to me. That is fantastic.
In the hallway outside, Andy opens the lid of the garbage chute. With a furtive glance around, he dumps the gift-wrapped melon in and closes the lid back up before hurrying off. Meanwhile, Chucky watches as the janitor, now stripped down to a sweat-stained tank top, tears open a package and retrieves a new set of Buddy Doll clothes identical to Chucky's. He breathes in their smell. Next, he reaches into Chucky's chest cavity and pops out a small canister. Removing a new canister from its bubble wrap, he inserts a chip, then observes its electric blue glow before inserting it in place of the old canister.
Your buddy is
now...
Yes. Are you my best buddy?
Buddy, you can connect to Caslin products, right?
Sure. Do you like music?
Connecting to Caslin music.
Yes.
The janitor eyes his Caslin speakers.
eBay, here we come. Finally.
Putting the doll's chest pieces back together, the janitor arranges Chucky's clothes over him, then moves over to his wall of monitors. As he grabs an empty buddy box, his gaze falls on one of the monitors, which shows Karen moving around her bathroom in a towel. Watching the brunette tie her hair, the janitor presses his lips together, then reaches a hand toward the monitor. Behind him, Chucky sits up on the workbench. All the feed suddenly cut out. The janitor looks toward a wall-mounted device.
Caslin system reboot?
Your connection is experiencing interference.
No.
A Caslin robot vacuum cleaner zooms across the floor.
Caslin! System reboot!
The feeds come back on. Now in her underwear, Karen stands by her bathtub, removing her bra. The janitor spins around.
Buddy?
The workbench lies empty.
Buddy?
The janitor glances under the bench, then scans the nearby area. The room goes dark.
Caslin, lights on?
The lights come back on.
Caslin, lights on. Caslin, lights on.
Caslin. Caslin?
A knife swipes at the janitor's calf, drawing blood.
Light activated.
The knife stabs him in the groin. Tripping on the vacuum cleaner, he falls on his back. The lights go out again as the knife slashes across his chest. A figure darts away. Placing a bloodied hand on the surface of a table saw, the janitor struggles to his feet.
Caslin, lights on?
He receives another stab in the leg. Climbing onto the table, he places his sock-clad feet on either side of the saw blade.
What the fuck are you?
As he glances around, bleeding profusely, Chucky's hand pulls a pin from one of the table legs, causing the table to collapse on one side. The janitor grabs an overhead pipe.
Table saw activated.
His feet dangle inches from the spinning blade.
I'm sorry, God!
Chucky points to the Caslin device on the wall.
Thermostat reaching
maximum. Get!
The pipe steams as the temperature crosses into the 140s. The janitor's glasses fall. One of his hands slip from the pipe, and a foot grazes the blade.
Time to open you up. Let's see what we're dealing with.
Warning, device overheating.
As the temperature rises to 180 degrees, the janitor's fingers slip from the pipe. Blood sprays on a ceiling light as the saw blade shreds him apart. A severed leg drops to the floor, and the blood-soaked blade slowly comes to a stop. Chucky watches the carnage with a small smile, then grabs the new clothes from the cart nearby. Now, the janitor's buddy box lies on an apartment's doorstep. Movement within causes it to shake slightly. Now, Andy answers his front door to one of Pug's friends.
Guess what Omar got? Someone left it outside his door.
Later, Andy enters an apartment to find Pug, Fallon, and the other kids from the building standing in a wide semicircle, watching a buddy doll control a toy truck on the floor.
My buddy actually works. I named him Cho.
The truck knocks over a glass bottle.
Check this out.
Hey, Chode, salute your master.
The doll obeys.
Hey, master, wanna go get a burger? Yum, yum. Yum, yum.
As Andy looks away, Fallon notices his troubled expression. Meanwhile, outside the building, Mike ducks under a police cordon and walks up to the building's side entrance. Holding a flashlight, he descends the steps to the janitor's workspace and surveys the blood-spattered crime scene. At Zedmart, a promotional video plays on a wall of screens.
Buddy 2 will be available in 5 model designs, including a fuzzy new friend, the Buddy Bear.
Yo, Omar, check it out, dude.
Oh, my God.
Fallon walks up to Andy.
The new model isn't even out yet, and they are already selling accessories.
She heads off to join Pug and the other kids, leaving Andy by a box advertising a leprechaun outfit. At the returns and exchanges booth, Karen pretends to stab herself with a pen. Andy grins at her, then moves to a shelf displaying various Caslin products.
Andy, you want to play now?
Toad, go away.
That's no way to treat your best friend.
We're not friends.
I'm sorry to hear that, because if I can't be your best buddy, then nobody can. You said it yourself. Everybody leaves you.
What did you say?
You'll see.
You got a problem with me? You say it. Okay. No more using your little doll.
Andy steps into an aisle lined with television screens, all of them playing a video recorded in his bedroom.
Stop. Stop the video.
The doll's eyes turn red.
Sit down.
Stop! Turn it off!
As Andy smacks the side of a TV, the screens all switch to an image of Shane's skinned face. Andy tackles the doll. Omar runs over.
That's not your buddy. Don't touch him. Look at his eyes. They're red.
What? Your shit breaks.
Now you gotta bust mine? It's Chucky. Look at his eyes.
Sam, don't touch him. You deaf or something? Oh, that's right. You are.
He flicks Andy's hearing aid out of his ear. Fuming, Andy shoves him, then socks him across the face. Omar's phone falls out of his pocket as he tackles Andy to the floor. As they tussle, exchanging blows, the others run over. The doll watches, smiling.
Andy! Get off him! Seriously!
Andy shoves Pug, who crashes into a shelf.
Guys, that thing is Turkey. He's controlling the screens. He's Turkey, look!
He points to the TV screens. An ad for the Buddy 2 plays on all of them.
What is wrong with you?
Karen strides over to her son.
Are you okay?
Glancing at the small crowd gathered in the aisle, she leads Andy away. The others disperse.
Joan, come on, dumbass.
Are you okay?
I thought...
Andy, where's your hearing aid?
He picks it up off the floor.
I got it.
He also picks up the phone, turning it on to reveal a lock screen photo of Omar flashing his middle finger. Nighttime. Omar plays a video game with a friend in Pug's apartment.
Hey, did they find your phone?
Not yet.
Fallon plops down beside Pug and hands him an ice bag.
Thanks.
Meanwhile, standing at the building's fire escape, Andy connects to the Buddy app on Omar's phone.
I got you now, assholes.
In Pug's apartment, Chucky stands by the TV.
I still can't believe your friend's with that freak.
He's not our friend. Not anymore.
Chucky's eyes light up. As the live feed from his buddy cam plays on Omar's phone, Andy watches him moving around Pug's apartment.
Where are you going?
In Andy's apartment, Karen spots Rooney's collar hanging from her son's bedroom doorknob. Walking over, she studies the heart-shaped pendant on the collar, then takes the whole thing off the doorknob. Meanwhile, the live feed on Omar's phone flickers as Chucky moves to Pug's kitchen and grabs a knife off a cutting board. The connection dies and a message on the phone reads, buffering.
No, not right now.
I'm going to bingo.
You should just not walk in there. Why don't you just wait till I get off work in a few?
I ordered a car. I can take care of my own damn self.
Patting her son's cheek, Doreen strolls out of her apartment.
Wear your seatbelt, please.
Meanwhile, the Buddy app on Omar's phone reconnects.
Come on.
The live feed comes back on. It shows Doreen waiting with an umbrella outside the apartment building.
Oh, shit!
Look at this.
A self-driving car pulls up.
A Kasling car.
Andy barrels down the fire escape.
Welcome to Kasling car.
Well, I'll be damned.
Climbing through a window, Andy races across the building.
Please fasten your seatbelt.
Andy runs toward the entrance.
Okay, I'm in the car. How do I...
We are now en route to your destination.
My. Oh my goodness. It's going backwards.
Doreen!
Hey, Andy!
Andy chases after the car.
Look at this.
As the car drives away, Andy comes to a stop, breathing heavily. Later, the car slows down near a building with a neon sign that reads, Bingo.
We are now reaching your destination.
Hey, look at my ride. Don't be jealous now.
A Kasling device in the car flashes red, and the car reverses.
Pull over, please!
I'm sorry, I do not understand.
Turning 180 degrees, the car roars forward through a rain-slicked parking lot, then comes to a stop a few feet from Chucky, who stands silhouetted in the car's headlights. As Doreen stares at the red-eyed doll, he points a finger at the car, and it begins speeding backward. Chucky waves his finger, and the car spins. Flailing in her seat, Doreen reaches for the steering wheel.
Nobody steals my friend.
The car reverses, climbing onto the hood of a parked vehicle. It descends back onto the road. Speeding toward Chucky, the car turns and skids to a stop, putting Doreen directly in the doll's eyeline.
Andy's my best friend.
Hobbit motherfucker!
Chucky moves his finger, and the car does another spin in reverse.
Passenger airbag has been turned on. Seatbelt disengaged.
Heads up, bitch.
As Doreen tries to belt up again, the car rams straight into a parked van. An overhead view shows smoke rising from the front end of the Kasling car.
You have arrived at your destination.
Doreen straightens in her seat.
I see you.
Bruised and bleeding, Doreen looks out her passenger side window. Shattered glass covers the wet road outside. She looks around slowly, her face frozen in a fearful expression as she gazes toward the back seat. All remains still in the darkness. Doreen looks out her window again, but sees nothing out of the ordinary. Chucky pops up beside her. Meanwhile,
I saw Doreen outside. Mom, I think Chucky did something to her.
Sweetie, Chucky is a toy, okay? It broke,
no,
you got
no,
rid of it.
No, Mom, I saw him. I saw him following Doreen.
No, you didn't. Listen to what you're saying.
Mom, he's gonna kill her. He probably already did kill
Why
her.
Why are you doing this? Please, just be honest with me and tell me what happened to Rooney.
It was Chucky!
Chucky.
Why aren't you listening to me? I have it on Omar's phone. He's following Doreen. I can show you.
Why do you have Omar's phone?
I took it.
Why?
I had to. I had to follow Chucky, Mom.
Okay.
I'm not crazy, Mom!
I'm giving this back to him.
Mom,
I'm giving this
no
back.
No one's listening to me. Please,
Andy,
listen to me.
I have to give this back to him so this doesn't get
no
any worse.
No one's listening
just
to me.
Stay right here, okay?
Mom!
And you're coming to work with me.
He's trying to kill us!
Do not move.
Karen steps out of the apartment, leaving Andy at the dinner table. At the parking lot outside the bingo hall, Mike uncovers Doreen's corpse. A knife sticks out of her chest. Mike's expression hardens as he gazes at her. In the apartment, Andy remains at the dinner table. The TV switches on. Andy turns his head toward it.
Don't know that.
A recording of Pug and Fallon plays on the screen.
We barely know this kid. He could be batshit crazy.
Andy moves closer.
What if Chucky never melts? He just made it all up. What if he killed?
Shut up.
I've watched him.
Static fills the screen. Andy spins around.
I've seen how they hurt you.
Eyes darting across the half-opened cardboard boxes piled up along the walls. Andy moves to one and picks up a baseball bat lying amidst other sports equipment.
Over here, Andy.
Leave me alone!
Over here.
Andy swings the bat.
If they don't let us play, they all go away.
Andy smashes a Caslin speaker.
Why are you doing this?
Are we having fun now?
Andy shatters a photo frame. Karen appears on TV.
Are you my best buddy?
If they don't let us play, they all go away.
The video switches.
Peek-a-boo.
Seeing a low-angled view of his feet on the TV, Andy peers under the couch, then walks around it. He upends the coffee table. A video of Doreen being attacked now plays on the TV. Andy smashes the screen. Karen returns home. She covers her ears with a distressed expression, then glances around the trashed living room. Andy turns to find her staring at him. Later.
The chance of rain tonight won't dampen the spirits of Buddy fans, as this is the night they have been waiting for. That's right, people have been lining up for the midnight release of Buddy 2.
At Zedmart, a sullen Andy glances at a crowd gathered in a roped-off section of the store, then watches Karen adjust a few Buddy 2 boxes on a shelf. At the apartment building, Fallon eyes a couple of police officers outside Mike's door. As an officer looks her way, Fallon turns and enters an apartment. In Pug's bedroom.
It's Doreen. I think she's dead. There are cops everywhere. What if Andy's right?
Later, in the lot behind the building.
The hell you want?
Omar, show us your body.
It's gone.
fuck!
Since when? Where is it?
Why don't you ask Andy? That asshole's been taking my shit.
Give me your phone.
Are you gonna steal it too?
She grabs him.
Give me your phone now.
Omar hands it over, wide-eyed. Fallon shoves him off, then returns to Pug's side as she opens the Buddy app on the phone. She plays the recording of Doreen waiting outside the apartment building.
A Kathleen car.
What the hell?
No.
Holy shit. He was right.
Switching to a live feed from Zedmart, she pauses and zooms in on Andy.
Andy.
Meanwhile, at a police station.
There you are. Remember the souvenir, skin face? They found it. Old man dug it up in a dumpster this morning.
Mike's colleague hands him photos.
Nice, right? Wrapped up like a present.
Mike's face hardens as he notices the familiar wrapping paper. At Zedmart, a timer counts down from 3 minutes. Karen's co-worker, Wes, peers out from behind a curtain and eyes the restless crowd straining at the ropes. He ducks back into a storage area. Dressed in a Buddy outfit, he shakes his head.
Fuck my job.
He dons the oversized head of a blonde Buddy doll.
Fucking thing.
A knife-wielding Chucky stands on a box behind him, eyes glowing red.
Buddy, Buddy, Buddy!
Elsewhere in the store, a Buddy bear's eyes glow. Carrying a bunch of balloons, Andy stops by the bear and stares at it. Pug, Fallon, and Omar approach him from behind, carrying weapons.
Come on, we need to get you out of here.
It's Chucky. He's here.
A balloon pops, and the startled kids stare at the Buddy bear.
I gotta find my mom.
They take off. As they run through the store, Mike accosts Andy.
Come here! Get the fuck down! Stay down, Andy.
He cuffs him.
Hey! What are you doing? Chucky's here! He's gonna kill you!
The crowd breaks free.
Be careful, goddammit!
What is going on, okay?
Look, I don't have to tell you shit, Karen.
That is my son, okay?
I don't give a fuck that it's your son.
Ladies and gentlemen, hail out your new best friend!
A knife stabs Wes in the neck. Staggering out from behind the curtain, Wes eyes the crowd through the doll head, his vision blurring. Grabbing at the doll head, he drops to his knees in front of a young girl in a pink beanie. As she watches eagerly, he takes off the head, spraying her with blood from his gaping neck wound. Mike notices the commotion.
All right, come on. Watch out. Move out of the way.
He cuffs Andy to a display cart.
You have to leave. Is that necessary?
Yeah, it's fucking necessary. Stay put.
I promise you, he's gonna kill us.
Mike rushes over to Wes as he collapses.
Hey, it's gonna be all right. Hey, look at me. Keep pushing on it, okay?
Somebody call. No, calm down, okay?
The lights go out inside the store.
Oh, shit. Mom, where are you going?
The Buddy app opens on everyone's phones. The video wall flickers to life.
Hello, my name is Henry.
Everyone stares at the screens.
Welcome to your local Zedmart. It's a great pleasure to...
Nearby, a Caslin drone with razor blades tied to its propeller sits on a display shelf. Chucky waves a finger and it takes to the air, hovering behind the crowd. Andy watches as more drones join the first.
Every child is important to us, and every child deserves a companion, a friend that will never let you down.
It's
time to play.
An image of Chucky fills the screens. A drone heads for Mike, but Karen pushes him out of the way, and it lodges in Wes instead, showering the crowd in his blood. Pandemonium erupts, and the crowd flees. One of the drones knocks over an employee. Mike gets to his feet. As the crowd rushes toward the exits, Chucky points a finger at a Caslin security device.
Lockdown activated.
Shutters lower. Chucky stands amidst the chaos, his voice coming in through Andy's hearing aid. Andy turns away. Nearby, a drone heads for Pug. Mike shoves him away, and the drone digs into his chest instead. He smashes it to the ground, then drops to his knees in front of Pug.
Run.
He collapses. Meanwhile, customers continue to flee as the shutters lower over the exits. Still on the floor, Karen begins to crawl toward the video wall. Nearby, several buddy bears activate, their eyes turning red. Pug runs down an aisle. Dodging customers being mauled by the bears, he pauses at the corner of an aisle, then turns into the next one, screaming as he spots Fallon. She slaps him. In another aisle, Andy drags the display cart with him. A man on the floor gets dragged backward, then a buddy bear peers around the aisle at Andy, who grapples with the cart. At some of the exits, the shutters lower completely.
Exit now.
Inside, the buddy bear climbs onto Andy's cart. As the boy struggles, Fallon and the others come up behind him. Fallon knocks the bear off with a hedge trimmer, then uses Pug's cleaver to decapitate it before snapping off the chain on Andy's cuffs.
Okay.
She heads off.
I'm gonna follow her.
Me too.
Yeah.
Now, the kids drop their weapons and crawl under a shutter half open due to a shopping cart lodged underneath it. Andy goes last. Andy looks back. Several TVs display a video of Karen gagged and bleeding.
Andy, he's trying to lure us back in. I can't just leave her there.
If we stay, we all die, okay? We gotta go. We'll call the cops, Andy.
Andy glances back at the screens.
Okay. Okay, you're right. Let's go. Okay. Okay.
As the others turn away, Andy kicks the shopping cart free. The shutter lowers.
Andy! It's my fault. Andy, all this happened, okay? I can't let you guys get hurt.
Andy, no! Andy, don't!
Come on!
Andy slings the strap of the hedge trimmer across his chest, then picks up the cleaver.
All right, Chucky. You want to play? Let's play.
Striding back into the store, he pauses by the video wall. Pushing aside some plastic curtains, Andy steps into a deserted storage area, moving between shelves littered with damaged toys. He glances up. Light streams in through wire mesh shelves overhead. He continues moving cautiously. A figure darts past overhead. Andy glances up again. Holding his weapons at the ready, he eyes another plastic curtain looming ahead. The blade of the hedge trimmer emerges on the other side of the curtain first, followed by the cleaver and then Andy himself, who looks around to find himself in a large warehouse. Cardboard boxes line rows of shelving units. Breathing heavily, Andy turns to find a remote-controlled toy cruiser darting out from under a shelf, its red and blue lights flashing.
Get her alive. You're coming with me.
The cruiser zooms past Andy and under another plastic curtain. Andy follows cautiously, emerging into an aisle littered with broken toys. He looks around, then finds the car heading straight for a figure standing at the end of the aisle with her arms and legs bound, two giant industrial fans rotating behind her. Bleeding from a wound on her head, Karen looks up, her mouth duct taped shut and a rope coiled around her neck. A tear spills down her cheeks.
Mom!
Karen shakes her head fearfully. Andy rushes forward, but stumbles on a toy truck.
You see, she's not your friend.
Chucky sits on a shelf.
You don't need other friends. They try to keep us apart, try to ruin our fun.
He's half hidden by the other toys on the shelf.
But I won't let that happen.
It will be all over soon. Don't worry, Andy. You're gonna thank me when she's gone. When they're all gone.
A bat knocks Andy in the back of the head. The screen cuts to black. Now, blurry views show the industrial fans rotating, Andy lying unconscious on the floor, the toy cruiser's lights flashing, and Chucky dragging a knife along the floor.
Guess what, Andy? Now it's going to be you and me forever.
A forklift behind Karen activates, the rope around her neck attached to one of the tines.
I was broken, Andy. I couldn't make you smile. But I'm better now. I know how to make you happy now. Maybe you don't want to be happy.
Chucky climbs on Andy.
Maybe you're broken too.
He runs his knife down Andy's shirt.
Maybe I need to open you up, see what we're dealing with. I'm gonna fix you, Andy.
You are my buddy until the end.
What? Andy?
Nearby, Karen is lifted off her feet.
You're my best friend!
Grabbing the toy cruiser, Andy knocks the doll off of him, then runs to his mother. As she rises higher into the air, he climbs onto a shelving unit nearby, scaling upward until he reaches a rack above her. Scrambling to the edge of the rack, he extends the blade of the hedge trimmer toward the rope from which she dangles helplessly. The rope frays slowly. Andy looks back. Chucky leaps onto his back, shoving him off the rack. Andy drops the hedge trimmer, but grabs onto the rope above Karen.
You are ruining our fun, Andy!
Get off!
Andy grabs Chucky's knife.
You're gonna play with me now! Only me!
Andy slices off the rope above his head, and he, Chucky, and Karen all drop to the floor. Getting to his knees, Andy quickly grabs the knife off the floor and straddles Chucky. He raises the knife over his head. He stabs Chucky in the chest. Sparks fly, and a brilliant blue light bathes Andy's face as he watches the doll power down. Andy gazes at him tearfully. The doll grows still, his eyes and mouth wide open. Andy gets to his feet. Andy searches the aisle.
Mom?
Chucky leaps at him. The doll drops to the floor. Andy looks to his left to find Mike holding a smoking gun.
This is the end.
Looking back around, Andy sees Karen's foot stomping down on Chucky's back. She grabs the doll by the hair.
Don't fuck with my...
She tears his head clean off his body and tosses it. Mother and son wrap their arms around each other.
You okay?
Yeah.
They hug again. Karen looks toward Mike.
Thank you.
He gazes back at her, his chest heaving. Chucky's severed head lies nearby, facing away from Andy and Karen. As they continue hugging, the doll's red eyes flicker, then grow dark. Later, Karen lies on a stretcher beside an ambulance, the red and blue lights of police cruisers flashing behind her. As the paramedic wheels Mike's stretcher to a stop beside hers, she reaches over and puts a hand on the detective's arm. They share a look. Elsewhere, Chucky's head falls on a wet road, landing near his body. A view rises to find Andy, Pug, Fallon, and Omar standing over the doll, the latter three wielding weapons. Omar hands Andy a sledgehammer, and the four friends encircle Chucky, taking turns to smash him to bits. Later, they watch his parts burn in an oil drum.
Our investigation has concluded that Caslin shares no responsibility for the horrific events that transpired at Zedmore. However, as a precaution, we are recalling all Buddy 2 products for the time being. At Caslin, the customers come first. We believe that every child deserves a friend for life.
At Zedmart, an employee carries a buddy box.
A friend who will never, ever leave them.
He places the box amidst others on a shelf.
A friend.
The employee leaves and the lights go off.
Till the end.
The doll in the box smiles, a flicker of red in its eyes. Cut to black.
You are my buddy until the end.
Directed by Lars Klevberg. Screenplay by Tyler Burton Smith. Produced by David Katzenberg, PGA. Seth Graham Smith, PGA. Executive producers Aaron Schmidt, Chris Ferguson. Director of photography Brendan Ugama. Production designer Dan Hermanson. Editors Tom Elkins, Julia Wong, ACE. Music by Bear McCreary. Music supervisors, Rudy Chung and Jonathan Christensen. Costume designer, Jory Woodman. Casting by Chelsea Ellis Block. Aubrey Plaza. Gabriel Bateman. Brian Tyree Henry. Tim Matheson. And Mark Hamill as the voice of Chucky. Ty Consiglio, Beatrice Kitsos. A Cat Smith production. Don't ever leave me. Please don't say goodbye. I'll be yours till the day that I die. More credits roll. American Humane monitored some of the animal action. No animals were harmed in those scenes. No person or entity associated with this film received payment or anything of value or entered into any agreement in connection with the depiction of tobacco products. The events, characters, and firms depicted in this motion picture are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, or to actual firms is purely coincidental. Copyright 2019, Orion Releasing LLC. All rights reserved. Orion Releasing LLC is the author and creator of this motion picture for the purpose of copyright and other laws in all countries throughout the world. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Child's Play is a trademark of Orion Pictures Corporation. All rights reserved. Day that you die. This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by Orion Pictures, voiced by William Michael Redman. Against a constellation, words read Orion Pictures, an MGM company. A striped letter A stands tucked behind a solid U. United Artists Releasing.